Hi, good morning. What up? Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you, your local affiliate, the free Odyssey app, SiriusXM 375, the podcast, wherever, however, whenever you get your podcast. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for being here. Happy hump day, halfway through, I hate that term, halfway through the week. Let's go. Let's do this. Thanks for hanging. Phone number, if you want to give us a call, 888-710-4ISN. I know a lot of you have been calling in. It's a two-hour show. We need to get to all the phone calls. I'm sorry if you've called in and we haven't gotten to you. Here is my vow today. If you call in, we will get to your phone call. And we now have a new-ish, 3 or 4 months old executive producer who answers the phone. So that's a different thing than last time. So 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Years ago, I went to Oklahoma to visit with Bob Stoops. That's how long ago this was, to ask him some tough questions. And I had to do a man-on-the-street story. And the first person I saw was some young dude, and I go, "Hey there, do you like Oklahoma football?" And that guy was Jake Trotter, who covered Oklahoma football then for the newspaper there. The Oklahoman is now a big shot. He's a big dog at ESPN, and he's a friend. He's a great guy, a talented guy. He'll be on the show in an hour, bringing it full circle. From man on the street to expert on the show, it's all happening. Let's go. Buy or sell, as we always do, will happen after we have Mr. Trotter on. We'll do before then, a little start bench cunt. There's a big news, no news update out of Cincinnati that we'll hint. The owner of the Browns lied to a bunch of us, so that was fun. That's always fun when owners come out and don't tell the truth. I like that. We'll let you listen to that BS. I've got a story about, oh my gosh, my son Henry. We're going to let the executive producer tell me whether that makes me a great dad or a bad dad. It really depends on your perspective. And no one has given me the bird since last we spoke here on the program, although I kind of want to give that to one of the two figures in my neck of the woods, the Los Angeles Chargers, because we've got a pretty interesting situation brewing with the NFL team, or at least one of the two teams, the other team here in L.A. There's a lot of reasons to look at the Chargers with rose-tinted glasses, to think maybe they can make more of a push this year, to think maybe there's a ceiling that includes playoff win or wins plural. I'm not sure how many people would realistically take the Chargers over the Chiefs in the AFC West, but I think most of us, sorry Broncos fans, could get our arms around the Chargers being the most likely challenger, if there is one in that division, to Kansas City. There's a lot of reasons for that. The main one is Jim Harbaugh, year two, remarkable coach, a guy that has a track record of winning everywhere. But we've finally gotten to the crux of the reality that was always going to define whether the Chargers can win. In the last 24 hours, it's really come to the fore. And that is two immovable, intractable forces colliding. Look, I know Superman's a big... Wait, Superman and the Fantastic Four, are those the two superhero movies that are out right now? I don't know anything about the Fantastic Four, but watch me be real pop culture savvy. It's Superman at full rate of speed going straight into whoever the strongest of the Fantastic Four is. I don't know the answer to that question. Because one of the defining characteristics of Jim Harbaugh's massive level of success, I mean, everywhere, Stanford, the Niners, Michigan, and I think it'll be true of the Chargers, is his overwhelming force of will. Force of will. And that takes form in a lot of different ways. Look, there's a toughness. You've seen who they draft and just how they play. They are going to go from being one of the softer football teams 2 or 3 years ago, one of the toughest football teams in the NFL. And his ability to command a room and make those players operate with as an extension of his will. All the things that he's been able to do everywhere he's been. But a huge part of what makes Harbaugh Harbaugh is this force of positivity for his quarterbacks. I mean, I live near, sort of, or I can go down to the beach. I can drive down to the beach. And they have people who do skywriting. I find it so weird. And have this in Iowa where I'm from. Right, they write, you know, "Jenny, I'm sorry," or whatever. Harbaugh has done that his entire career with quarterbacks. They're all the greatest QB you've ever seen. They're all amazing. They're all remarkable. And that force of positivity has often worked. But this is where his Superman skill of positivity and willpower, and we're going to do it because you're amazing. This intractable part of Harbaugh's makeup and success is running into maybe his kryptonite, and that is that Justin Herbert sucks. Maybe I shouldn't say sucks. Maybe that's rude. Maybe that's mean. Maybe that, oh, how dare you? I don't know him. I'm sure he's really nice. Look, I suck at golf. I'm not going to pretend I'm good at golf. Let me walk that back. It's true, but let me just say it more diplomatically. Justin Herbert's certainty of failure in the moments that matter most. Is that a nicer way to say it? Look, I'm not making this up. Justin Herbert, and he has got a golden arm. I know he can sling the football. I understand that if we just did a combine every year and assess a championship for that, he would compete every single year. But I checked. You actually have to play the games and win them under duress. It's hard, especially for Herbert. He has played 2 playoff games. Let me strike that. He, as the quarterback, the most important player in the most important sport in the world, has helped his teams earn, which means he has failed to earn, anything but 2 playoff appearances. And you know how he's done in those 2 playoff appearances? He has, checks notes, yes, sucked. He's been bad. Blew a 27-point lead in his first playoff game to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and another quarterback who's a emerging, wasted, high ceiling, can he get there, what happened talent in Trevor Lawrence. And then last year, under Harbaugh, that dude had 4 picks, including a pick 6. I'd forgotten. It was such a bad performance, I blacked out on it. I mean, look, I've never blacked out from drinking. Luckily, I don't drink that much, but I have blacked out from bad football because I watch the Bears a lot, so my body's sort of prone to that, and it happened with the Chargers. 0-2 in his playoff career. 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions in his playoff career. Has completed in his playoff career 52% of his passes. The guy's bad when it matters most. And it's not just the playoffs, and it's not just the Will Ryder. He had a terrible coach before, and they weren't very good, and they haven't been well run. And, oh, but guess what, Billy Boy, in the playoffs, you play tougher teams. Over the last 3 seasons, this is shocking to me. Ryan, DJ El Guapo, Hickey, dug this up. And I don't want to tell him myself. I didn't believe him. He got it wrong. So I had to go double-check this morning. In the last 3 seasons against playoff teams, Justin can't do it. Herbert is 3-16. Again, teams at over 500, he got a special little win. So, okay, 4-16. Congratulations. And just to put it in perspective, in the last 3 seasons, he's 3-16 against teams that made the playoffs in the last 3 seasons. Over that same stretch, Mahomes 23-8. Josh Allen 14-9. Lamar Jackson, who I probably don't give enough love to, 17-11. Joe Burrow, under 400, 11-14. That's basically 3 Super Bowl wins compared to what we're talking about from Justin Herbert. Herbert has been shockingly unreliable. And the approach from Jim Harbaugh to fix this, to address this, to bring out the best in Herbert, is not to tell him you got to be better, is not to question whether or not he's the guy, is not to say to the rest of the football team, and I'm just saying indirectly, hey, defense, offensive line, running game, defensive line, we got to be better, we got to lift this guy up. No. And this is Harbaugh's thing. It's investing such positivity in his QB, it runs the risk of offending the rest of his football team. Harbaugh was talking to the folks in NFL Network, and he said, despite everything I just gave you, he said, oh, no. Justin Herbert is basically his own version of a quarterback Superman.
Justin Herbert's biggest weakness is all of those that he's counting on offense, coaches, offensive line, playmakers, receivers, running backs, to get up to his level. Yeah. You know, and that's I wake up every day to try to get to his level.
You think it's crazy that I said that Justin Herbert sucks at football 4 seconds into the show. I think it's crazy that Jim Harbaugh said basically Jim Harbaugh, all the coaches and all the players that have played with or been around Justin Herbert suck, and they've been holding them back, and they got to get to his level. According to Jim Harbaugh, the reason Justin Herbert can't win a playoff game, can't throw the football in a playoff game, can't hold on to the football in a playoff game, can't hold on to a 27-point lead in a playoff game, can't beat, other than 3 out of 19 times, playoff teams the last 3 years because of the guys around him. And this is not a criticism of Harbaugh. This is what he does. This is his approach. This is his philosophy. And the real test of the Chargers is going, because they're going to draft well, and they're going to be prepared. And as I said, they're going to be a much tougher football team than they've been in the past. They are going to be able to handle pain and be able to inflict pain. They're going to run the ball. They're not going to over-rely on their quarterback play, but it's the NFL. You have to play your quarterback. He has to be successful. He has to be great. And Harbaugh wasn't done with NFL Network. This idea that Herbert is somehow actually Patrick Mahomes is a message, is a core belief, is a spotlight in the sky that the Chargers head coach doubled down on.
Just the highest level. I mean, he's a quarterback in first five seasons. Nobody's thrown for more yards. Yep. In the history of the NFL, and everything he does is, you know, you just don't change a thing. But mm-hmm. whatever it is, conditioning, it's too easy. Mm-hmm. You know, everything we do is, we got to try to pull him back, you know, because you never have to talk him in to doing anything.
We got to stop him from his greatness. We got to stop him from flying when the rest of us can walk. We got to just, you know, get this God among men to just act a little mortal sometimes. I mean, this, and I'm not even criticizing Harbaugh. What I'm telling you is Chargers' success this year, the years ahead, is going to come down to whether or not this philosophy, and Jim Harbaugh has always used it, of heaping his quarterbacks with praise is going to win out against Justin Herbert's clear lack of ability when the moments matter most. And maybe it works. It might work. Justin Herbert's problem isn't mechanics. It's not talent. It's not the game is too fast. It's mental. He's the most talented version of Kirk Cousins we've ever seen. I mean, that's what he is so far. And you can redefine in real ways who you are and how you're viewed and what your reality is in the National Football League, especially a quarterback. And the other fact is that who shepherds you, especially at that position, but in this game, in this league, in this game, who shepherds you throughout your career is critical to whether you succeed or fail. Trevor Lawrence is on the brink, and again, we'll see, like with Herbert, Trevor Lawrence is on the brink of being a historical letdown based on what was possible and what's going to happen because of Urban Meyer in dysfunction. Good old Herb over there got to run, slink back to L.A. and go on TV and pretend he still knows what he's talking about, dance with whoever he wants to without people paying attention. Maybe the reverse can be true later in a career. We haven't seen it as much, but we've seen it. See Baker Mayfield. See a bunch of guys. See the guy that left so that J.J. McCarthy could get a shot in Minnesota. And speaking of J.J. McCarthy, and speaking of maybe the idea that it sounds like I'm exaggerating, and it's hard to remember that Harbaugh has done this at Stanford, and he did this with Colin Kaepernick when he was Kaepernick's coach. Remember, they made a Super Bowl, and they had a couple bites at that apple. I covered those runs. I literally covered two straight playoff runs where the Niners, I was assigned to the Niners when I was at FoxSports.com. And Harbaugh's force of will every day when you're around it, it's a real thing. This is a through line. This is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. This is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. That's the greatest performance I've ever seen. You've never seen leadership like this. Truly, truly, if Jim Harbaugh, because we live near each other, apparently he lives in my neighborhood. Well, I'm a neighbor. He lives like a mile from me. But people I know him. I could play, I won't, but I could play in a pickup football league, and Harbaugh could coach me, and he would tell people I'm the greatest quarterback he's ever seen. And let me tell you something, I ain't. How do I know this? Because a few years ago when J.J. McCarthy went to his combine in Indy, and look, McCarthy played at Michigan under Harbaugh at the time. He is going to be the starting quarterback in Minnesota this year. We don't know if he's going to be good or not. He has struggled, by the way, so far in training camp, a little that we know from reporting. Doesn't mean he won't be great, but it's a question mark. This idea that J.J. McCarthy is the next great thing as a guarantee is not real. Hope he succeeds. But just to underscore how much Harbaugh is full of crap and or understands that praise is the secret ingredient to quarterback success. This is not AI. We're not making this up. These words actually escaped his mouth. This is actually Jim Harbaugh a few years ago, truly talking about J.J. McCarthy.
The workout J.J. had, I've been to a lot of pro day workouts and watched quarterbacks throw. That was the best I've ever seen a quarterback do at a pro day. I mean, not only was his feet great in the individual drills and but then he started throwing, and it was like every throw was, you know, right there. I thought our receivers did a great job too. But that was the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then, you know, hear coaches and GMs, you know, come up to me and say, hey, you know, great job with JJ. And, you know, like I predicted, once they were around him, it was absolutely no surprise whatsoever.
It was the greatest throwing day I've ever seen. Dude. And I love it. And I love it. I do. It doesn't make it real and it doesn't make it true. And the fact is, and I gave you the stats and I'll say it again just so you know, the fact remains that despite the fact that, let's include the fact that Justin Herbert, again, through the first five seasons of any career, and a lot of quarterbacks don't play their first season, Mahomes is one of them, okay, through the first five seasons of any career in the history of the NFL at the quarterback position, the person with the most passing yards, 21,093 of them, to be exact, is Justin Herbert. That level of greatness, supposedly, has to be juxtaposed with 3-16 the last 3 years against playoff teams, with no playoff appearances at the early part of his career, being 0-2 in the two playoff appearances that he has, being unable to complete a pass unless it's to the opposing team over the course of those two appearances, and being remarkably underwhelming when it really matters they're playing good teams. Look, congratulations, you can beat up on crappy football teams. That's not the goal, that's not the job. That reality of Justin Herbert, I'm not speculating, I'm not guessing, I'm not talking about somebody who hasn't played very much. 5 years of a sample size of a guy, again, most passing yards, any quarterback in history, first 5 years, who can throw the football but can't do it against good teams and can't do it in big moments. That's real. Those are facts so far. That is the person Jim Harbaugh has turned to and said, oh my God, this person is another level and we could only keep up. If we can only keep up, because he believes that it works, because it's his philosophy, because it's what he's always done. He won a national championship in Michigan. He can say whatever he wants about J.J. McCarthy. He can heap praise on how silly it is. He won a national championship at Michigan. That is not easy to do. It hasn't been the last 20 years. The question for the Chargers is whether or not Harbaugh's unstoppable positivity, especially toward this position, can somehow change the, so far, unstoppable trajectory of Justin Herbert being the new, more talented Kirk Cousins. I'll probably bet on Harbaugh, but it's a tough, tough call. 888-710-4ISM. I'll ask you if you want to weigh in. Is Jim Harbaugh going to turn Justin Herbert into a star? Into a winner? Bigger, more important, maybe? Or is Justin Herbert going to turn Jim Harbaugh into a liar? 888-710-4ISN, if you have a take. We keep going long on these segments because Ryan did such a good job producing them. So if you're my boss and you're listening and you're like, why the hell did you go to 17 or 18 minutes? It's because you gave me too good of a producer. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. I'm going to let you listen to a billionaire lie to all of us. It's going to be great. It involves the Browns. It's next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Normally, this would be the equivalent of Ben Simmons hitting shots in the gym. Did you see these videos come out the other day? Every year. I mean, come on. I can have a video of me talking to a pretty girl. Doesn't mean I'm going to go pick up Scarlett Johansson. What are we talking about here?
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Good morning. Thanks for hanging. How do you know an NFL owner is lying? How can you tell? What's the secret key? He's speaking. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're great people. They're great. I mean, some of them. A couple of them are great people. I'm a big Clark Hunt fan. That's our guy. We have him on the show every year. I like Clark. I know Clark from my Kansas City days. But look, and I'm not even mad about it. I can be pretty self-righteous. Shocker, huh? My wife was a boss for a long time. My dad was a boss for, you know, most of my life. And it turns out that bosses can't always tell the truth. It's just one of those things. If layoffs are coming and you're not allowed to talk about it and you know that, you know, let's just make up a name. Ryan Hickey's getting let go. And, you know, and that happens on Friday and he asks you on Wednesday, you can't tell him the truth. You know what I'm saying? Just making up a name here. Just making up a name. So I understand that lying is part of the deal when you're powerful, as I understand it. Never been powerful, so, you know, it hasn't been a problem. Easier to be self-righteous. But sometimes I roll my eyes. I roll my eyes at the silliness of all of it. I mean, see Jerry Jones over the last couple of weeks. And just the mealy-mouthed way he's tried to explain the Micah Parsons standoff in terms of what the Cowboys and what their superstar want. He's the most talented player of all time, but he might get hit by a car. Like, what are we doing here? None of that's real. None of that's true. And there's a report out that these two sides are further apart than they had been. Okay, that's you're heading the wrong direction. You're heading the wrong direction. And it doesn't feel like in Cleveland they're heading the right direction in terms of quarterback play. And it was sort of bizarre that they drafted two QBs in this past draft, third round and fifth round. And obviously Shedeur Sanders is the name that's on sort of everybody's lips. And Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, came out and spoke to the media yesterday. And look, I'm not saying he's not telling the truth. I'm just saying I don't believe him. Doesn't mean that I'm right. When he pretends or he says or he claims, I don't know. When he claims that Shedeur Sanders was something he had absolutely nothing to do with.
We have good process, okay? And if you'd have told me, let's see, we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur. Just like who's going to start or what play we're going to call is Kevin's call. But that's Andrew's call. He made the call.
Don't believe him. I just don't believe him. We have good you start with we have good processes. No, anytime somebody starts to use corporate speak, mealy mouth corporate babble, they're not usually being honest. Hey, man, do I have to work next weekend? Do I have to work 3 weekends from now? Well, corporate structures bill requires certain things to be formalized in a way that rotates our greatness. And excellence is what we all strive. That's a yes. I'm working Saturday. That's what that means. And what you're hearing from Haslam, I think, is that he got involved. And that's fine. Look, it is what it is. And interestingly, Dylan Gabriel, the other quarterback who was drafted with a third-round pick, has had first team reps, has looked a little bit better, as best we can assess it. He's playing real players at times. Some odds came out yesterday. He's the betting favorite to actually be traded, not Shedeur Sanders, which is fascinating. So maybe there's a ceiling to Shedeur, and maybe part of the reason, because these things happen, that they're giving Dylan Gabriel, this is very in the weeds, but more first team reps, more opportunities early on, is because they're trying to inflate his value and move him on because they actually like Shedeur. It's hard to make sense of how they're utilizing their two rookie quarterbacks when you have Joe Flacco and, before he got hurt, Kenny Pickett also in the mix. Very limited number of reps you can give these guys with the betting markets that suggest that, and he's minus 125. He's a betting favorite, Dylan Gabriel, to be traded somewhere before the first week of the season than to be there. Something's got to give. Here's the other reality. The Browns on paper at quarterback are potentially awful. Awful. Look, I know that Flacco came in a couple seasons ago and was comeback player of the year and was really impressive and played well, and they were able to find some achievement. When he did that, he was defying the expectations of his age. He's older now. That's the way the time moves. It only moves forward. We're not Benjamin Button here. So the odds that he's going to be successful are smaller. The odds that Kenny Pickett's going to be good, even if he's healthy, are slim because I checked my notes. He's still Kenny Pickett. He hasn't. It also, you don't change who you are as a person either, apparently, at a certain point. I'm not going to wake up and be Ryan Gosling. It's just not going to happen. And Shedeur and Gabriel are probably not going to be capable of leading a successful NFL offense this year, if ever. And maybe they will be someday. It does not seem likely it's now. Which would beg the question, maybe there's a little bit of a tank going on. Maybe there's a guy named Arch Manning who could be coming out, who would be a great quarterback potentially, and certainly a guy that would sell tickets. And we know the Browns owner loves big names. Remember Johnny Manziel? Remember that guy? Remember Baker Mayfield? They actually drafted him number one overall in what at the time was a crowded draft, and then they, typical Browns fashion, don't keep the one quarterback that they draft successfully. They let him go somewhere else. And the fact that Haslam, because he was asked this yesterday, maybe just draft Arch next year. The way that he bristled, again, to my ear, sounds like the reporter got it spot on.
Well, Tony, you're in the business, and you get paid by how many hits you get, okay? And I think if you know the Manning family, I would bet that, and I don't know Arch at all, okay? I bet he stays in college 2 years, so I don't even think that's worth discussing.
If you know them, you'd know, but I don't know them. Huh? Which is it? Ryan, the Browns are a mess. This is what I've decided. The Browns are such a mess. I don't care what their roster looks like. I don't care about their potential. I don't care about what Flacco did a couple years ago when he stepped in for Deshaun Watson. They are not to be taken seriously until they are a seriously run football team. And maybe I'm being too hard on him, but drafting two of these young quarterbacks and not having a plan and now talk about Arch Manning, I'm out on the Browns. I was thinking about being in on the Browns at a sort of a 9 or 10 win at a Steelers level. I'm out on the Browns. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning, number one.
For the third time. Yeah.
As we do every day, third time's a charm. I also agree. And what's, I think, frustrating is I like Kevin Stefanski. I think he's a good coach.
I do, too.
From the little, like, you know, you can glean, I do think Andrew Berry's a good GM. And I think kind of what we just heard in that first clip, he's kind of more getting held over by his owner. I think the Browns have a good structure. I think they just have a really bad owner.
I mean, here's the thing. If you have a good GM, but he has to manage a bad owner, odds are it's not going to work out. See Bill Parcells' career basically fade into oblivion because he decided to go and play for the or play coach the Cowboys. All right. I'm going to tell you a quick Henry story, and we're going to get to start a bench cut. You tell me if you think this is a – I'm not sure if I'm really proud of my kid or not. There's a teacher that he had that was at his school. It wasn't his teacher. That was awful. Have you had teachers that just didn't like you and treated you badly and you couldn't stand, your parents didn't like, but you sort of have to be polite? Have you had this?
Yes.
We had some run-ins with the teacher, didn't love the teacher, tried to be diplomatic. I wasn't very diplomatic. Don't like the teacher. I think she's a bad teacher. I think she's a bad person. Okay. Happens. I could be wrong. Henry's walking down the street yesterday. We let him do errands sometimes now. And he's walking by himself. And he bumps into his former teacher and her friend. They're on a walk. And the teacher goes, "Henry, do you remember me?" And apparently my son goes, "Yes. You made my life a living hell."
And she, whoa!
Yeah! And then he kept it moving.
Wow.
A 13-year-old kid. Is that okay? Because I was kind of proud of him, but I was also like, man, I might be a bad dad.
I think honesty is the best policy.
You do.
He was honest.
Yeah. And she's with her friend, though, is the thing.
But maybe this could work in a positive, because if... Right. It's okay. One thing for the kid to say, "Oh, I don't know, my teacher's just out to get me," if you're lazy or just a bad kid and you're trying to hide maybe your actions. If you believe this is just a bad teacher, she's not good at her job, she's a bad person, then maybe you do need some shock and all, a little shock therapy to get any sort of change, make that possible to save the rest of the kids. Maybe this interaction and the public embarrassment that she, I'm sure, felt with her friend next to her saying that, hearing that,
helps.
Maybe this could all of a sudden change the tide, and going forward in 2025 and beyond, she'll be a better teacher.
I have this dream. I have this hope that I'm going to bump into Jay Cutler. I really do. And that I'm going to see him, and someone's going to introduce us, and I'm going to say, "You made my life a living hell." How do you think Jay would take that?
Cool, bro. Just walk away. He would not. That guy would not care.
He didn't care back when he was playing.
Good.
Suffer. He didn't care during the NFC Championship game. That was 82 years ago.
That's not the guy that you're going to be able to say that to and get a response or a change in his personality.
Is Jay Cutler the definition of unreachable? He's not reachable.
Yeah, he's probably in the woods somewhere hunting.
Better career, Jay Cutler or Jay Cutler? I hate his name. I can't even say his name. Jay Cutler or Justin Herbert?
I mean, I'll say Justin Herbert so far. He cares.
I mean, Cutler made an NFC Championship game.
He did, and bowed out of it. But he did. No, you're right.
He did bow out of it. Trust me. I know. It's like a dagger in my heart.
I will still hold out hope that Justin Herbert can surpass Jay Cutler. If not, Oh, boy.
Speaking of oh, boy, there's some old boys in Sharp Bench Cut where Ryan, that's you, really holds my feet to the fire. It's our favorite segment of the week that takes place on Wednesdays after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Shohei Ohtani struck out 4 times last night in Cincinnati. He had 4 Ks in the game before, but never in his first 4 ABs. At least for a night, though, the Dodgers were fine without his production.
The pitch to Will. He swings. He drills it to left field. This ball's going to head back and bounce off the track and off the wall. Altman around second. He's on his way to third. He's being waved home. The cutoff is dropped. Head first slide. Safe! And Will Smith delivers with 2 outs.
That's a tie-breaking RBI double top nine from Will Smith. His Dodgers topped the Reds 5-4. Andrew Vaughn a grand slam. Six RBI total as the Brewers beat the Cubs again, this time 9-3. Milwaukee now with a two-game lead on Chicago atop the NL Central. Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely reportedly dealing with a small fracture in his foot. That's a multi-week absence, but he could be ready for week one. And Angel Reese was back after missing two with a back injury, 22 points and 13 rebounds. But Chicago's skid hit six with a 103-85 loss to the Mystics. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
The more likely that there's a problem, the more likely you are. It's on lockdown. I don't want Jordan yelling at me again.
It's not even Bill that they're afraid of. It's Jordan.
No, they're not afraid of Bill at all. He's a softie.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, good morning on this Wednesday. Bill Ryder with you. Hope we have not made your life a living hell. I told a little story last segment. Kid told his former teacher she made his life a living hell, which she did. I like the candor. I like, where do you think he got that from, Ryan? The directness.
Your wife, for sure.
Totally.
And his grandparents, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just a shy man. A shy man. Roar, lions, roar. That's the shirt you're wearing, huh?
Do you want to guess what school it's about?
Notre Dame.
With a giant Nittany Lion logo right here.
What's a Nittany Lion?
It is a specific type of lion that... Okay. They used to, unfortunately, no longer exist now, or they moved. They used to habitate on Mount Nittany, which is right next to campus.
Wait, they had, it was like a mountain lion?
Yes.
It's a Nittany, it's extinct.
I think they have more moved to greener pastures, let's say, as State College started to blow up in population.
Oh, they still exist, though?
I mean, they're just mountain lions that just used to inhabitate.
You have no idea. Certain,
no. They were mountain lions. They're telling you a specific breed. You can't go and say,
oh,
what are the
I thought
breeds
you
of
meant
lions?
They were, yeah, like they a just, jaguar, a cheetah, and a Nittany lion.
No, they're just a mountain just, lion that inhabited.
That lived on Mount Nittany.
Yes, that's correct.
That's dumb. That's a dumb reason to call it, yeah.
Are there any that's tigers dumb. In Missouri? Why are you guys the Missouri Tigers?
Also dumb.
Show me a tiger.
Yeah, they're not.
LSU. I just had a cage in their own tiger on campus.
We don't call them the Devil's Icebox Tigers or the Pinnacles Tigers for our, you know, little geological sites where tigers used to supposedly live.
Well, I'd rather be the Nittany Lions than the Fighting Illini. What's an Illini? You're fighting
people from Illinois.
Of your own state? Or the
fighting Illini. You can't take shots
Pens?
At Fighting Illini. Can't take shots at Fighting Illini. They're just fighting dudes.
Their name is literally just a shortened version of the state name. That's all it
I'm
is.
Not, I don't have a problem with the Nittany Lions. I don't understand. It's all good.
I think we should just acknowledge a lot of college mascot names are stupid. That's all.
Yeah, they are stupid.
And I embrace
by the
stupidity.
Way, not just, that's fair. And not just that, team names are stupid. I have a theory. You cannot come up with a new professional sports team name without people thinking it's dumb. Because all the names are dumb. Until you kind of get used to them. Other than the Bears, that's a great one.
Yeah, if they introduced the Jazz, hey, we're going to call ourselves the Jazz. People would crap on that for years.
Let me tell you a joke. I learned this, heard this in Dubuque, Iowa, where everybody is either a Packers fan, a Vikings fan, or a Bears fan because they're all, how do you keep a bear out of your backyard in Dubuque, Iowa?
You put a piece of cheese back there?
Put up a goalpost. Pretty good, huh?
That's pretty good. I like that.
Heard it from Packers fan when I was 14. Didn't laugh. Let's do Start Bench Cut.
It's Start Bench Cut on Writer Than You.
The double doink, I'm sure, did not help a lot of those jokes. Probably only.
No, it didn't.
Continued it for the next generation.
No, the problem with that joke is it turned out to be true. You know, the best jokes are rooted in fact.
And this one was a predictive one, I guess you could say. How about this, Bill? Let's start. Since we started the show with Justin Herbert, start bench cut these head coach quarterback combos in the NFL for 2025. Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and Dan Campbell, Jared Goff.
That's a really good question. All right. I like this segment, by the way.
Me too. I also like the way you're killing time to try to think of an answer.
I really am.
By just throwing compliments out there. This is a great segment, by the way. That's
this
a really
is great work.
Man, great producing. But hypothetically, you'd be the first one laid off if we had layoffs. Of course, hypothetically.
Did you like that?
I did like that.
Made me laugh. I'm going to cut Harbaugh Herbert. I just did a whole open of the show on this. And I could be wrong. Again, this remarkable force of will and positivity that Harbaugh brings to bear on his teams, especially to quarterbacks, maybe it'll transform Justin Herbert from a pumpkin into a carriage, but I don't think so. So I'm going to cut those guys. I'm going to start LaFleur, Jordan Love, unfortunately. I'm going to bench Campbell and Goff. I think the Packers are capable of winning 12 or 13 games this year and being the dominant team in the NFC North. And I think one of the critical components of that is Jordan Love taking another, and he's done it, right, the last few years, taking another step forward, another big step. I think he can. I think he's really talented.
Let's drop the head coaches, just talk about quarterbacks. Start, bench, cut these three QBs. Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield.
Did you do this before? I asked you this exact question earlier. Did you do this before or after?
After.
Oh, okay.
It was a good question.
Sorry. I didn't mean to say yeah. No, I thought
okay.
We were like
but
on the same wavelength.
I liked it. I said, why not? We talked about it before the show. Let's bring it on the air.
It's amazing because we talked about Justin Herbert being really underwhelming, 3-16 the last 3 years against playoff teams, awful in his two playoff games, blew a 27-point lead to the Jags, and then last year had 4 picks, including a pick 6. And we were talking about, man, who's had a better career, him or Trevor Lawrence? And then I threw in Baker Mayfield. I think it's an easy start, Baker Mayfield, which is crazy, by the way. And it shouldn't be crazy because Baker Mayfield was also the number one pick in his draft, in his respective draft. And, right? No-brainer, Baker Mayfield, isn't it?
I agree, yes.
He's a winner. I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence next. I'm going to cut Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert has shown us what he is. I think he's Kirk Cousins, man. He's a more talented Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins with a golden arm.
Instead of kissing Cousins, maybe golden Cousins, something like that for Justin Herbert.
Instead of kissing Cousins, I gotta think about it. Yeah,
I like it that way. You got a new nickname for 2025. We can debut it here in a few weeks.
I'll try to figure it out. I came up with one, but I can't use it on this radio show. Okay. All right.
Start, bench, cut these Browns quarterbacks you want to see start week one. Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders.
I mean, based on the way you phrased it, I mean, start Shador Sanders because it's pure content for the show. Is that what you're at? Can I answer that way? And
This is your
and then
preference.
Dylan Gabriel and then Flacco. By the way, if you're the Browns, they're not going to do this, but it almost makes sense to pick the best young guy and to see if one of them can become a quarterback of the future. And if they can't, you'll know by your two wins, you can go try to draft Arch. It's not a terrible plan. Do you really believe Arch Manning is going to go to school for 2 more years? I don't.
Oh, I do.
You do?
At this point, I'd be surprised if he comes out next year. Just because the Mannings, they beat to their own drum. Like, you look at how Peyton was a 4-year starter at Tennessee. Eli was a 3-year starter at Ole Miss. I think they believe, like, experience at the college level, like, helps.
And to your point, he was patient with Texas, right? He waited his turn. And, like, why do it for just a season? And they have unlimited wealth. And he can make a lot of wealth at the college level. I'll walk it back. You're right.
And even, too, his freshman year, they said no NIL deals. You're not signing any deals. You're just focusing on school. Like, they just do things in the opposite of what 99.9% of people would
do. Look, it's commendable. But a lot easier to do when you're the Manning family.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Although his dad's Cooper. I don't know what Cooper has in the bank, but it ain't what Eli and Peyton have. Do you think Eli and Peyton give Cooper and the rest of their family money? Do people that rich share all their money? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think Cooper's probably doing pretty well for himself. I would assume I think the family, like, there are definitely levels and tiers.
He's doing great, but he doesn't. I mean, what is Peyton Manning worth? I don't even know. $400 million?
But, like, your brother's doing really well himself, and Cooper does not seem like a flashy guy where he wants these yachts and extravagant vacations. Like, if you're doing pretty well and it's, I don't know, 10 times less than what you're making, but still pretty well. Do you have to share? I don't think you have to share, no? We're just going to send him a weekly stipend check?
I mean, no, that'd be weird. I guess like you're not paying maybe for vacation, or you're not picking up dinner.
All right, I think dinner's different. Like, if they all go to dinner together, I would probably assume Peyton and Eli are paying most of the time.
All right, I take it back. Cooper Manning, according to AI, which is right at least 12% of the time, net worth of around $13 million.
He's doing okay. And Arch is doing okay for himself as well.
I have a buddy who's a billionaire. I have a friend who's an actual billionaire. He's a billionaire. And he's picked up one meal in the time that we've been friends. We have dinner every time I go to his city, and it's because his wife was there. So don't. They don't always pick it up, man. I was so shocked that he paid, that she was shocked, that I was shocked, that he was giving me this don't be shocked look, and I was giving the, but I'm shocked. Right? Because she was, I think it was Dawn. Wait. He isn't buying Bill the dinners?
How many dinners have you gone on? Like 10?
20.
Oh, so it's been like it's not like just like one time, and then this has been a good
amount. No, it's like once a year. Now, in fairness, he's only been a billionaire for maybe 10 of them. But I mean, dude, he's a billionaire. Yeah.
But okay, he didn't just wake up one day and go from rags to riches.
He's had money for a long time.
Multi, hundreds of millions to eventually get to that one bill.
He's got some money, bro.
And is it split the checks, or you've like paid for the whole thing most of the
time? We've split them. I know. I just accept it. I don't know.
I guess that's how you get to be a billionaire.
I'm not friends with him for his money. We've known each other for forever, right? But it is also a little like, hey, man, come on.
Wow. Do you order?
This $130 is a lot to me. It's not to you.
In the beginning, did you order like the steak?
No.
Like knowing, like, or saying this guy's going to pick it up? So like, let me just, you
know him. I'm like, this dude's not going to pay for anything. I might have to pay for it.
Take a two apps to go, please. Wrap that up. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Really quickly here. Okay. Sauce Gardner got a big time contract. First thing he did was buy two watches worth over $100K each. Start bench cut. If you had unlimited wealth, what you would splurge on? Jewelry, cars, vacations.
I don't understand the jewelry thing.
Agreed.
I don't understand it. I wear a ring that my grandfather wore through World War II. That's a family heirloom. And that's the only thing that I wear is jewelry that I inherited. All right. I'll go vacations for sure. I'm not a car guy. Dude, I drove a bad car forever, and my first nice car I bought about 4 or 5 years ago, like nice-ish, to drive around LA, and it was like a game changer. Like, oh, not driving a terrible car actually has advantages. So I'll bench the car, and then I will cut the heart out. Just kidding. I will cut the jewelry. Little radio joke there, just for you. Just for those. If you know, you know. Big Jake Trotter fan, incredibly talented college football writer for ESPN. Buddy of mine joins me next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show, Bill Ryder with you. I'm really excited about the guy we're about to have on. And let me just tell a quick story. He's listening, I think. I think he's with us. For those of us that have been newspaper reporters, there's nothing more loathsome, other than maybe transcribing tape, than the man on the street story, where you have to just go up to a random people and be like, do you like football? And then write down what they say. And I did that once when I was in at Oklahoma when Stoops was the coach. I was a Kansas City Star reporter. I went to some random guy because he looked nice. Like, I guess I should talk to nice people. And he was. It just turned out he was a reporter covering Oklahoma football, so I couldn't interview him. He was Jake Trotter, who, as you know, is now a superstar senior college football writer for ESPN. Been there for, man, it feels like forever. Has covered the Big 12, has covered the Browns, covered, obviously, Oklahoma back in the day. Jake Trotter, do you remember that is how we met? Because I still grimace when I think about that man on the street assignment.
Yeah, I do remember it, Bill. It was an embarrassing moment for you. You know, you had this long windup, if I remember correctly, too. I was just standing there listening to you ask, and I was like, after your 2 minute question, I was like, I'm covering the team. You probably don't want to talk to me.
My 5 minute look. What's going on? Well, at least I ended up in radio. Jake Trotter, friend of mine. Congrats on all your success. You're killing it and crushing it. We were just listening to Jimmy Haslam on the show talk about how he thinks Arch Manning won't be available next year in response to a Browns reporter who asked whether they might be interested in drafting that Manning next year. Do you have any sense or an educated guess on what you think Arch's plans are likely to be as it relates to the draft and how long he'll be at Texas?
Yeah, I think it depends on what happens this season. If he wins the Heisman, Texas wins the national championship, if Manning looked like the clear-cut number one pick in the 2026 draft. And I think he comes out. If he struggles, if, you know, he doesn't have the type of season, you know, he wants to, if he looks like maybe a fringy first-round pick, then, you know, he probably comes back. So I think that for Arch, you know, no decision has been made, best I can tell. And I think that the focus is on this season, and what happens this season is going to dictate the next step. Now, it is interesting that Jimmy said that he thinks Arch is going to be in college another year. You know, Jimmy is tied to the Manning family in Tennessee. You know, Jimmy among the biggest boosters there. And obviously, Peyton, you know, was a star at Tennessee and still connected to that program. But, you know, I do think, Bill, if Arch did come out, the Browns have two picks in the first round for the Mason Graham, Travis Hunter trade. Imagine Jimmy Haslam be going all in on Arch Manning if the possibility was there for him.
Jake Trotter hanging out here on the show. We're going to effort again just a little bit. The phone, I think we got to, this just happens to me all the time when I'm a guest. We got a little bit of maybe a headphones issue. Oh, Jake's back. So, Jake, I was just sort of filling time and talking. Do you think, obviously, Arch Manning comes from a family of massive expectations and a huge limelight. Do you have any reason to think that the expectations for Arch, where he's playing and what his name is, can will in any way impact potentially his performance?
In other words, are the expectations going to be too big for him to meet? I mean, I think that he has been in the limelight long enough that he's going to be ready for everything that comes with his last name. And not only that, but being the, you know, starting quarterback at the University of Texas, no matter what your name is, carries a lot of pressure with it. You know, what's great about this situation, Bill, is we don't have to wait very long. I mean, we're going to find out about Arch Manning in week one, because they go to Ohio State and play the defending national champions. You know, that's a tough place, obviously, to win. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of 2005, when Texas had this quarterback that was super hyped up. We weren't quite sure, like, how good, you know, he really was. He had some moments the year before. And then Texas goes to Ohio State with Vince Young in week two, I think, that year. And, you know, Vince leads Texas on a game-winning touchdown drive to win that game 27-22. And all of a sudden, it was like, all right, Texas, not only is Texas for real, but they've got a quarterback that can win the national championship. So I could see, you know, a similar script playing out this year with Arch. Again, I'm not comparing Arch to Vince, but because, you know, Vince is one of the all-time great college football players we've ever seen, regardless of what happened in the NFL. But there's an opportunity for Arch to make a real statement, you know, out of the gate. And I think if he does that, you know, he'll alleviate some of that pressure, because they'll have all the momentum, you know, coming out of that Ohio State game.
Jake Trotter here on the show. Jake, if you had to do the dreaded pick, who's your favorite for you to win the SEC this year? Is there a clear answer?
You know, there's not a clear answer, but, you know, off what we were just talking about, not only am I leaning toward picking Texas to win the SEC, I'm leaning toward picking them to win the national championship. And a couple of reasons why, they've been knocking on the door these last couple of years, and not that dissimilar from the 05 team, which had, you know, had some really nice seasons, especially in 04 when Vince and Texas won the Rose Bowl. But, you know, Texas has been in the playoffs the last couple of years. They, you know, got to the semis last year and, you know, were right there with Ohio State, you know, had a catastrophic play happen at the end where when yours gets sacked and Jack Sawyer picks up the ball and scores a, you know, game-clinching touchdown. They've been right there, and they've got talent coming back on both sides of the ball. I think that defense is going to be nasty, and if Arch is close to what we think he's going to be, I think he could be an upgrade at quarterback over Ewers last year, especially after Ewers had that injury mid-season, then I think it's right there for Texas. So, you know, you look around college football, Ohio State, you know, quarterback questions, Michigan, quarterback questions, Oregon, same thing. You know, some of the SEC schools as well. You know, even though Arch really hasn't played meaningful football, at least in games that matter, you know, gets big time competition. I just think that Texas at this point, I think, is a better idea of who they are than maybe some of these other power programs. And I just, based off what I saw from Texas last year, and if you ask the Ohio State players, like, who is the best team you played, I you know, they would tell you it was probably Texas. I think that they are, you know, primed to make that run after knocking on the door these last couple of years.
ESPN's Jake Trotter here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. Jake, I went to Missouri, as I think you know, and I can remember Nebraska football being a force of nature. That's a long time ago, but it's a reminder that nothing is forever, and even programs that think that they have a rightful place atop college football have to hold on to that or it can go away, especially in some states that maybe don't produce as much football talent as, say, Texas or Florida or California. You covered Oklahoma. You covered them at a time, and this continued after you went on to national coverage, where they were a dominant force. What do you prognosticate as Oklahoma's future in college football over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, you know, when they announced they were going to the SEC with Texas, you know, I was concerned for the program because it is much different being the big dog in the Big 12 or the Big 8, if you want to go further back, than being just kind of another program in an SEC where, you know, half the programs are, I think they have a chance to win the national championship every season. And the move just reminded me of what Nebraska did in 2011. You know, Nebraska, you know, they weren't at their heyday toward the end of the Big 12, but they were still playing for conference championships. They still had guys like Ndamukong Suh. They, you know, they still had some dominant defenses. And as soon as they went to the Big 10, you kind of thought, right, Big 10 West, like, that ought to be Nebraska's league, division. They ought to dominate that. And instead, they've just petered out into almost irrelevancy, which is sad because, you know, like, you know, I remember Nebraska was basically what Alabama was for so long in the 90s yeah. and 80s and even the 70s, too. You know, we'll see with Oklahoma, but this is going to be, I think, a pretty telling year. You know, there's pressure on Brent Venables after a losing season. And they've, you know, they've got some better pieces. They've got Mateer at quarterback. They've got Ott at running back. Deion Burks, transfer from Purdue, you know, was a terrific player, but has, you know, just battled injuries at OU. You know, they've been better defensively since Brent got there. They play Michigan in week two, and that is a massive game, I think, for both teams because you look at Oklahoma, if they don't beat Michigan at home, then you start looking at that schedule, it's hard to get to 7 wins. And with Michigan, you know, the school's proposed a 2-game suspension for Sherrone Moore after the OU game. You know, they got to play Nebraska in between there. And, you know, if Nebraska is going to come back, this might be the year with Dylan Raiola and Matt Rhule having been established there. And they got Dana Holgorsen as the offensive coordinator. You know, Michigan, if they don't beat Oklahoma, you know, they could kind of be looking at a similar season to what they had last year. So that's a massive game, but especially for Oklahoma, because, you know, like, you go 6-6 in the SEC this year, you fire your coach. I mean, where are you going? You kind of are who you are at that point. And the difference between, you know, Oklahoma and maybe some other programs in the SEC is there's this expectation for them to be 10 wins, 11 wins in the playoff every year. And I don't know how realistic that's going to be for them, you know, in the SEC going forward. And that's going to create, you know, a lot of pressure on whoever the coach is and certainly Brent Venables this year.
Life comes at you fast, especially in college football. Jake Trotter here on the show, ESPN's outstanding national college football, senior college football writer. One of, I guess, the upsides, if you're a marginal, really good programmer, program. We had this expanded college football playoff, and the expansion hasn't stopped, although there's disagreement about which way that goes. Obviously, Jake, as you know and you've covered, between the Big Ten and the SEC, which plan do you think, if you have a sense of this, is either the most likely to come, or if you have a view, what do you think the best version is for college football?
Yeah, it's, you know, coming from Big Ten media days in Vegas last week, I mean, they're just not close to any kind of agreement on what an expanded playoff would look like. And honestly, an impasse, I don't think would be the worst thing in the world because I think our format now is pretty good. like there was this instant urge to change it, but I thought the playoff worked out really well with 12 teams. And, you know, they fixed the one issue, which was, you know, the seeding, where, you know, just because you win your conference doesn't mean you should get an automatic, you know, top four seed in a bye. I think that, you know, that's been an easy fix. And otherwise, like, you know, you win your conference, you're in. I think that's great. Group of five has a path, and then you have to earn it on your feet on the field. And, you know, some of the Big Ten proposals right now about, you know, you get four automatic berths and then we're going to have a play-in ourselves. I mean, does anybody want to watch, you know, last year Iowa play Ohio State? And, you know, if there was an upset, I was in the playoff instead of Ohio State. I don't know that anybody's clamoring for like an 8-4 team to be in the playoff. So I don't really understand Big Ten's thought process right now, other than they, you know, they want to get an even playing field with the amount of conference games you play, you know, with the SEC playing one less. But I don't know. I'm just not a fan of preordaining any of this where, you know, you're just because you're from a conference, you get in, where, you know, there might be a year where three ACC teams deserve to get in over, you know, a third and fourth SEC team or Big Ten team. Let's settle it on the field. And I can tell you, like with the committee, the Big Ten and the SEC, they're always going to get the benefit of the doubt. And last year, like SMU deserved to be in over Alabama. I don't think that was controversial at all. So I think if they can't come to an agreement and we're just stuck with the 12-team playoff for the time being, I think that's okay. I think that's actually probably better for college football, because it seems like every time we change something, you know, half the time it's for the worse.
All right, Jake Trotter, last one for you real quickly here. The executive producer is a huge Penn State fan. All he does is go on and on and on every year about the inevitability of Penn State's national championship. Is this the year that he's actually, you know, is the blind squirrel going to find a nut this time around?
Well, if not this year, then when? Right? I mean, they're the most experienced team in the Big Ten. They've got a quarterback. You know, and say what you will about Drew Aller, he's still, you know, a terrific prospect. And yeah, did he throw the pick in the Notre Dame game? Sure. But, you know, he's also gotten better every year. And I think he'll be even better than ever this season. And you look at Penn State and what they have, both sides of the ball. You know, James Franklin said it's the best collection of coaches and players he's ever had. And then you just compare it to Michigan, quarterback question, Ohio State, quarterback question mark. Oregon, same thing. You know, this is the year. Like, if you're Penn State, this is the year. If you don't win the Big Ten this year, you don't beat, you know, the Ohio States of the world this year, I just don't know when it's going to happen. So this was certainly a theme with the Nittany Lions and Big Ten Media Days last week and as they open camp. And I think that they understand it. Like, I think they're kind of embracing it. I mean, Drew Aller told me, like, it's time for us to get over the hump. Like, you know, this is it, and we're excited about the challenge. So, I think if Penn State, you tell your executive producer, you put a different uniform on Penn State, I think that they would be the consensus number one team in the country going into the preseason. But because it's Penn State and they can't beat top five teams, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they were kind of in the 2-5 range. But I think they have every reason to be number one going into the season, especially with what they have offensively coming back.
ESPN's Jake Trotter, it is outstanding to talk to you and have you on the show. Thank you for making time today.
Yo, good to talk to you, man. We got to go. Hopefully we'll get to have an Italian dinner in Kansas City before it's all said and done.
I hope so, buddy. Let me know if you get to L.A. Thanks for hanging, pal. All right, dude. Be good. Jake Trotter, the guy's great. I love that dude. Jake Trotter on the show with some hard truths for Ryan Hickey. Penn State sucks. He did not say that. He did not even remotely say that. We went a little late because of the phone stuff, but I wanted you to hear from Jake because I think he's outstanding, and he was. Buy or sell next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I, if I were the player, would rather just announce it when I'm done. But you make a good point that if it's Messi or it's Mark Grace, that is a sentence that's never been said in the history of time.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. I love Mark Grace. Do you even know who Mark Grace is?
I've heard of him. Did he have a goatee?
Sometimes.
Okay, I could sort of picture him.
Do you know who he played for?
The Cubs.
Do you know his position?
First base.
Oh, that's good.
Did he play? He played for the Diamondbacks, I believe, right?
He did. Do you know what he was sort of his game? You're familiar with his game at all?
Well, based on how you talk about him, not great game. Is that fair to say? Or?
No, great game, dude. A great game. He hit for average, not power. Was a Gold Glove level first baseman. Hall of Famer that isn't a Hall of Famer, basically. Who's your favorite player that wasn't a legend?
My first favorite player ever as a kid was Todd Pratt. Backup catcher.
That guy's bad, though. All right, let's do... this guy was good. Mark Grace was great. Let's do buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, let's start this. A unique trade went down in baseball yesterday.
So okay.
The Orioles and Blue Jays are playing a doubleheader in Baltimore. In between games, the Orioles traded reliever Sir Anthony Dominguez to Toronto.
That's funny.
Meaning the reliever, all he had to do was just switch dugouts for game 2. He actually made his Blue Jays debut in game 2, pitching a scoreless inning with 2 strikeouts. Buy or sell. This is the best way to get traded.
I mean, I don't know, man. So did he then... All right, let's just walk through this. So you start your game as an Oriole. You expect to, right? Where was the game at?
In Baltimore.
Was the game in...
So he's at home.
So you expect to go... You expect to go home.
Right.
Do you get on the plane with the Blue Jays? Whenever they leave town?
Well, yeah, right? Yeah, you have to.
Of course you do.
I mean, the thing for him is that they're still in Baltimore today, so it's not like after the game's over, hey, by the way, whatever you got on, basically you're going to Toronto.
He's got time to call his realtor and be like, we got to sell the house.
Although not much time, considering they play at 12:35 today, Eastern. So he's got a day game after a night game. I'm not even sure if he's at, like, do you sleep at home at that point? Like,
where do they go next? Where's see. I think sleep at home last night.
The Blue Jays are next playing. They're at home on Friday. So they have an off day tomorrow. You're home on Friday.
So he'll have. And is Baltimore staying home?
No, they are traveling to Chicago to take on the Cubs.
So he was packed already.
So he's at least preparing to go somewhere.
I'll buy. Sure.
Buy.
What a buzz. And that he pitched in the second game and struck out a couple of his teammates that he woke up, you know, a few hours earlier. They were chilling in the clubhouse, playing cards, eating watermelon or whatever that, you know, they have a lot of fruit. Eating oranges.
The ultimate Uno reverse card. They talk about the game plan for game 2. All of a sudden, hey, by the way, buddy, you're not here anymore. Oh, perfect.
It is the ultimate. I'll buy that Uno reverse card.
Buy.
It was so rushed, that's by funny. The way. I think he was like wearing number 48. They were so rushed to get his uniform stitched. The 8 was actually upside down. Because they just were like, oh, we got to get this thing ready to go. Get him in his uniform. It was very hasty, but
I guess it's so weird.
Short commute, to say the least. This is not good in baseball. Okay. A rough season for star Ronald Acuna Jr. got worse as he was removed from last night's game with Achilles soreness and then immediately placed on the 10-day IL. Now, the 2023 MVP missed the first 49 games of the season, recovering from a torn ACL he suffered last year, and has been limited to 82 or fewer games in 3 of his 7 seasons. When you look at the Braves right now, they are 45-61, 13 games from the final wild card spot. Buy or sell, Bill. The Braves should shut down Acuna for the rest of the season.
Buy.
Buy.
Buy. Yeah. I mean, look, all of these things is predicated on what the doctors say and sort of the situation is, but there is no reason to rush this guy back. Buy or sell, you think that organization's lack of familiarity with losing could drive them to make a mistake here?
buy.
Last thing is, they are one of the most consistent organizations in baseball. I mean, for decades of excellence. Sometimes you just got to accept. And this is another thing. I would argue that the Dodgers could lose any player and be fine. You could literally pick, I think you could pick two players out of a hat. They'd be harder, but they have that kind of depth. Most teams don't, including Atlanta. Most teams don't, even that are generally pretty competitive.
You're right, and that's an interesting point, too. When you're so used to success and competing, sometimes you just don't know how to let go sometimes. Just
you don't know how to let, yeah.
This is not for us. Wave the white flag and don't make a bad situation even worse.
Opposite of Penn State.
That was funny.
Bye.
That's about it. Stephen Jones, how about this? He defended the Cowboys' process yesterday at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas when it comes to the Cowboys and their, we'll say, slowness in handing out contract extensions. Take a listen.
I have a theory that maybe you guys drag out the deals to get engagement from the media. Well, and it's like the best $2 million you can spend having to give Dak a few more.
Well, let's just start off. We don't agree on that. We don't drag deals out. We do deals when there's an opportunity to do a deal. And certainly no one knows what goes on internally with a particular negotiation. But, you know, sometimes agents and players aren't ready to pull the trigger till they see other cards play.
Love to get Micah Parsons' thoughts on that. But in the meantime, Bill, buy or sell, you believe that the Cowboys intentionally wait to hand out extensions in order to drum up media interest?
No, they'd have to be smart for that. Sell. They'd have to be well-run.
Sell.
And strategic. It's a good theory. The best buy or sell, you agree, the best part of that clip is the radio host trying so hard to spin on the Cowboys' behalf an explanation that is reasonable. And Jones, the other Jones, going, nah, you're an idiot.
Sell.
See, actually, no. I give him credit. I thought it was kind of like, I think it's a...
You like the theory.
A bold thing to say. Because I think that's what a lot of people think of. Just like... No. There's no doubt they're going to pay them. But it's just, why do you wait so long, time after time, and pay more money for what?
It's not strategic. And I just don't believe they've sat around and gone, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do it from a marketing perspective. Because part of the problem becomes... You also are generating, $2 million in free advertising, $1.9 million of which advertises that people think you're an idiot. I mean, it's not, I mean, the Cowboys aren't obscure. They're not a single-A baseball team that needs attention.
But the old saying goes, right? No attention is bad attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's a saying. Doesn't mean it's a truth.
Maybe Jerry doesn't. Some people just don't care. They'd rather be talked about in a negative way than not talked about at all. I wonder if Jerry is in that camp.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, no. The answer, I'm going to sell. I don't believe that.
Sell.
I mean, look, there's a political story that's going around involving a horrible human being who's no longer walking this earth. And I'll tell you what. He's you know what I'm talking about. And he's tied to some people that like attention. They don't want that attention.
That press, I would agree, is definitely bad press.
That's bad press.
That is bad press.
Yeah.
That is bad press. This is good press if you're a Bengals fan and maybe Trandarson.
Okay.
His holdout officially ended today. He reported to Bengals camp, but it's believed, I should say, he's not going to practice until he has a new deal. The All-Pros returned to Cincinnati. He was, by the way, in Florida so far for the first week of training camp. Is viewed as a good faith gesture in order to help accelerate extension negotiations. Buy or sell, the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson will come to an extension agreement by Sunday.
Buy.
Buy.
I only say that because I'm on vacation next week, and I'd like it to happen before Sunday so I can talk about it.
Let's will it into existence.
Buy or sell, you're already sad because you're going to miss me next week.
Buy.
See, this is the thing. It's a test. I know you're not sad. That was a lie. You can't lie and buy or sell.
You said all we're supposed to do is lie and buy or sell.
No, never lie.
Oh, see,
you got it backwards.
Pretty daddy told
me
something.
James Franklin?
Jeez. Well, I guess in big games, I guess so. Doing the other thing.
Buy or sell, if I went up to Penn State's head coach and called him Jimmy, it would go well. Like at a press conference.
Sell.
Okay. It would not go well. And thus, it would not go well for me, because then people are just going to make fun of Penn State and James Franklin for getting so mad about something so small.
Yeah.
There would be a mountain made out of a molehill for there, from that, I should say. So please, please don't. I beg you.
Okay.
Maybe next year, when either they win and doesn't matter, or they lose and I'm already beaten to a point so low that doesn't matter anymore.
All right. I'll wait till next year for you.
Speaking of college football, the University of Michigan announced this week that they're going to open their 2026 season in Germany as they take on Western Michigan. In the press release, the university cited an excitement to teach a different part of the world about the university and about the football program. Buy or sell, more college football teams should play international games.
Sell. And by the way, I am Mr. International Games. Give me NBA teams in Europe. Give me an NFL team in Europe. I don't mind when... What? These are pretend college students. We're going to send them to Germany for a game? Buy or sell, you like this. You would like it if it was Penn State.
Sell.
Yeah.
Despise it.
The wear and tear is real, man, on international games. That kind of travel.
And also, college campuses are great. The environment's great.
100%. 100%.
Put more of them 100%. There, not less. Let's finish with this. Luka Doncic?
Who?
More like Luka Don Chiselt.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Sell.
In an interview with Men's Health, Luka detailed how he's doing 2 days in Croatia. He's improving his conditioning drastically and also has adopted a high-protein, gluten-free, low-sugar diet. The man looks great. Buy or sell, Bill. Luka Doncic is your favorite to an NBA MVP this season.
I'm going to tell you, I told you, he's in his revenge body mode, right? Where you get broken up with and you just, it's revenge time, it's workout time. I'll show the Mavericks for breaking up with me. Bye.
Bye.
I also think the fact that he's a Laker increases the odds because there's so much attention on him. There's such a shine Q rating factor. Was it the last one? Did you say that was the last one?
That was the last one.
All right. Buy or sell. If Luka Doncic wins the MVP this year, this is in a vacuum, LeBron James will be happy.
Sell.
I agree. And obviously, if he wins the MVP, they're going to be a top, three or four team at least. I'm with you.
He seems like someone who, at this stage, is maybe just self-serving. Does not want to see the joy of others.
I'm not sure he plays well with others all the time.
But give you
that
impression.
I don't think that's a bleeping lie. Every action he's taken for the last 2.5 years. Remember when LeBron said that Bronny was already better than a bunch of these bums in the NBA when Bronny was still in college, not playing at USC?
And then got mad when people are now criticizing his son for, in fact, not living up to that hype?
Right. I feel bad for Bronny and that whole thing. All right. We are going to talk a little bit of football. We're going to talk a little catch 22. We're going to talk one of the most promising teams in the NFL, and the thing that could take them over the top is the thing that could destroy them next year on the show after a Sports Flash from Andy Rogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
In Manhattan will remain closed until at least August 8th following Monday night's deadly shooting, which also left a league employee wounded. Roger Goodell informing employees of that decision in an email last night. Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely reportedly has a small fracture in his foot, but could be ready for their opener. Braves right fielder Ronald Acuna Jr. headed for the IL with right Achilles tightness. Manager Brian Snitker had to take Acuna out of right field after he struggled to chase two balls last night in KC.
The doctor said it'd probably be at least 10 days. Everybody heals differently, and it's just one of them things you don't want to mess with.
Acuna said he first felt something running the bases Monday night, but he wanted to keep playing because he's missed so much time recently. He's coming off a torn ACL. The NBA is sending the Magic and Grizzlies to Berlin and London for games in January. The league will also play in Manchester and Paris in 2027, Paris and Berlin in 2028. And from the WNBA, the Aces took care of the Sparks last night, 89-74. Asia Wilson, 34 points and 10 boards. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Happy Wednesday. What's your favorite day of the week, Ryan? What's your least favorite day of the week? Weekdays.
I'm going to throw out Friday just because I think it's an obvious answer. I do like Thursday a lot.
See, Thursday is my favorite.
Least favorite, I'm going to say Tuesday.
Me too.
Everyone's for sure going to say Monday, right? But once Tuesday is kind of where I feel like the real tiredness from the weekend comes 100%. In. It's like we still got a long way to go.
Right. Man, okay, Monday I could chalk up to feeling this way. It was Monday, but this is just Tuesday, and you said it.
No light still at the end of the tunnel in terms of the work week coming to an end. It's tough.
You don't feel that way, though, because you work with me, and so, you know.
Every day Saturday for me.
Right. But in general.
Right. Of course. If I had a bad job before this, every other part of my life, I'm like, oh, God, Tuesdays suck.
When you work with Gelb, you're saying, Tuesdays were rough.
Every other part of my life, Tuesdays were really rough.
Got it. 888-710-4ISN. Let's take a call. I told you we'd get some. We need to get to these. Chris in Lexington. What's up, pal? Thanks for listening. You're on Writer Than You.
Hey, Bill, man. Great talk. Thanks for working me in, man. All right. I think you're going to like where I'm going to take this. So I'm taking us all the way back to your opening. You laid out those stats about Herbert. And I thought on the fly, put my head together. This is the analogy that I want to run you through, Bill. Because I'll be honest, I knew his numbers were bad, but you taught me something today. I didn't realize they were that bad. And I agree with you. I think Harbaugh's a little delusional, but I like Jim, so we'll see. But here's what I want. Here's the analogy. It would be like someone that was hyped as Tiger, right? And you know as well as I do, not everybody that is the top 20 in the world show up to, I don't know, the John Deere Open, right? So that I'm going to equate to, like, non-playoff teams and the success that he's had, all right? And Tiger wins a bunch of those. And then he shows up to the U.S. Open, Masters, British Open, PGA, which I'm going to equate as playoff teams, and he shoots 78, 79, 80, 81, and didn't rack up that kind of success like he had. That, to me, is the same as what Justin's doing. Came in with great hype. I agree with you, Bill. He's got all the physical tools, but if he can't produce on those stages, which is why I wanted to do that analogy for you, Tiger did it on the biggest stage against playoff competition. You know, that's the best way I could describe it in golf, and until Justin does it, he's not just like Lamar. I mean, I hate to say it, but until Lamar shakes that bag, we're going to have the same argument. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm with you. At least, and look, Chris, thanks for the call. I'm 100% aligned with you on everything you said. I doubt Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's made the brink of a Super Bowl. He's won playoff games. He's led a team during the 16-game seasons to being 14-2, right, having a bye. And while that season was his first MVP season way back in the Wayback Machine, didn't lead to success, and you don't get credit for a playoff win when you get a bye. When you get a bye, when you lead your team to a bye, and that's when there were two per conference, now there's one, you still bought your team a berth into the next round. And so while it doesn't count on the playoff record, he's also gotten his team to second round. I mean, multiple times, if you include that. So it's... And I'm not rooting against Justin Herbert, and it's not a lock yet. Here's what I'll say. What I knew, talk about the Wayback Machine, when I knew Tim Tebow wasn't going to work, and in retrospect, maybe my logic was off, but when I thought we knew that Tim Tebow wasn't going to work in the NFL was when he went to the Patriots and didn't work. Because at the time it was, if you can't work with the Patriots, right, remember that? Turned out it was just all Brady. But we thought, oh, it can't work. That's how I currently feel about Jim Harbaugh. If you can't succeed with Jim Harbaugh, especially as a quarterback. And I don't mean throw for a bunch of yards. I mean be successful in the way the football teams strive to be, which is to win games, then win big games, then those big games get to the playoffs, and then win some of those games, and at least compete for a championship. Harbaugh didn't win one with the Niners, but they were in that mix. They were at that level. If you can't do that, then it's you. Then you're the problem. And so this is the beginning of the real answers coming on Justin Herbert. And he is the solution, and he is the question. He is the problem. The Chargers, understandably, have invested in him, in his arm, in his talent. They brought in the right head coach. He's going to put the right system in place. He's going to have the right psychological tools. He's the greatest ever. He's going to build up the offensive line. They're going to play old-school football. They're going to be a tough football team. They're going to run the ball. They're going to do a lot of things well. If Justin Herbert can't succeed under this regime, under this Harbaugh. He can't succeed in the NFL. And we'll see what happens. And the thing is, last year was a pretty nice start for Harbaugh. And he made the playoffs. And it looked pretty good. And it's like this, you know, kind of I thought it was an under-the-radar story. And what happened to Justin Herbert when he got to the playoffs? What happened when the beginning of the Harbaugh era succeeded? Justin Herbert threw 4 interceptions in a playoff game. Does not instill a lot of confidence. I love that our guy Chris in Lexington brought up the John Deere Open, because that is an event that takes place in Iowa, and I'll never forget watching whatever the equivalent of Golf Channel was many years ago when I've told this story many times on the radio, but it's one of my favorite stories. My brother went down to watch. My brother's a really good golfer. He's 3 years younger than me. We were in high school, and I was watching on TV, and some idiot goes, "You're the man, Tiger!" right before Tiger swung. And Tiger turned on live TV and looked at him and was just like, rolled his eyes like, "You idiot." And like, shh. And it was my brother. It was my brother's voice. I was like, "Oh no, Bobby." He was sophomore. "You're the man, Tiger. I love you. Oh no, you hate me. I'm so sad." Don't yell at golf. At golf matches, right? Oh, we got to watch Happy Gilmore too. Have you gotten on that? I need to get on that.
I have to get on it as well. I've not
me
yet.
Me too.
Maybe tonight.
I've heard pretty okay things.
Oh, really? Oh.
I've heard mixed things. But I've heard some people say, no, don't take it seriously and it's good.
I see people say that, like, it's not bad if you just kind of squint your eyes a little bit and, you know, get yourself into a certain mindset that it's not going to be great.
I haven't watched it because I don't want to know. It's like if I could go back and not watch Godfather 3, I would, and that's what it feels. I can't unsee it once I see it. All right, but I probably owe it to the audience and to myself and to Happy Gilmore. Thank you to Jake Trotter for being on the show. Great work by Ryan Hickey as always. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. My name is Bill Ryder. See you back here tomorrow on Ryder Than You.